What's up, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Stand Up Sit Down. I'm your host, Nick Perdue, and on today's show, I have the hilarious Quincy Jones. Stay tuned.
You are now tuned in to Black Hollywood Live. Stand up, sit down.
There it is. There it is. Quincy Jones, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, man?
Yo.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Look at you. See, looking like a million bucks right now.
Oh, man. Just these lights are so bright, man. This is what happens when you day drink, man. Just keep the lights dimmer.
I mean, it's Sunday fun day, you know, so you gotta do what you gotta do.
Carpe diem, man. I don't know how you were raised, but that's how I got right there.
Out here living this comedian rock star life now.
Oh, is this what it is?
This is it.
I think I'm very modest. It's not rock star. It's more like Blink 182 lifestyle. How about that?
All right. So, I mean, you'll get a couple MTV awards.
I mean, that's what I'm trying for.
You know,
isn't that what it's all about?
Either awards, or a Source Award. One of the two.
Man, now Source Awards winners usually die. So I'm good. I'm good with the Source Awards.
So let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
You're from Seattle.
Born and pretty much raised, yeah.
Nice. What was life like growing up in Seattle?
Man, it was a smaller city, but it had its rough moments. I mean, none really grew. I got a younger brother. I got an older sister. Grew up with my mom's, and went to on and off elementary school there, middle school, and then high school.
Nice.
Yeah, so,
like, were you a funny kid growing up, with a class clown or a bully?
Man, I don't know what I was. I was so confused as a kid.
The awkward kid?
I wasn't that. Okay. I wasn't that. I always had jokes, though.
Okay.
Because I grew up poor.
Mm.
So, yeah, in order to, like, when the rich kids would try and clown the poor kids, I'm like, oh, you're not going to do me like you did these other kids.
Right.
I got jokes. You're ugly and you're rich. That's something you have to live with. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll get money one day, but you're ugly and you're rich. Sorry to say, man. But yeah, that's what it was, man. I was growing up. I grew up broke, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I feel like a lot of people who are really successful and have like a crazy work ethic didn't grow up with money because they had to hustle. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's like they have that mentality, and I'm like, yo, like, I don't want to go, because they know what it's like. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it sucks not having money. I just got a little money, and I like having a little money versus not having money.
That's why I don't spend any money.
Nothing?
Not really. I haven't bought anything.
What was the biggest expense you've had in the past 3 years?
A couple bar tabs this past week. Couple bar tabs, a couple Uber rides. I mean, that's pretty much what my money. I mean, yeah, I don't have anything. I mean, yeah, medical expenses, but
modest.
I'm a modest man.
Okay. What brought you into comedy? Like what introduced you to stand-up comedy?
I mean, Chris Rock's Niggas Versus Black People bit. I just remember watching that and thinking, I got thoughts like that too. And I remember, like, I didn't, like, do comedy then. I'd always been funny, though. But I went to open mic, you know. I was, like, 21, you know, did well. Then didn't go back till I was, like, 25, 26. Then started doing it full time then.
Why'd you wait so long? Like, why'd you take that break?
I mean, it was harder to do comedy full time. It was learning the politics of the game in Seattle. Seattle's a great scene, but there's a lot of politics there, too. So that's what I had to learn.
Okay. So, and then when you got back into it, what was that like first show like?
I think it was a show in like West Seattle or something like that. It was a bar show. I got these jokes, and it was then that I realized that you can't use the same set for every room. You have to fine tune something.
Right.
Even if you have an airtight Seinfeld hour, you're gonna have to change it up for each crowd a little bit. You know.
Yeah. So I mean, what was it? Was it rough for you?
I mean, I started when I was older, so I never really had those rough adjustments that most young comedians have.
Yeah,
there's always and I've always been in the moment type comic, so I always address what's going on. So it lets the audience know that they need to pay attention to me, and I know how to command a room because
right.
I lived life outside of comedy. I used to rap, you know. I used to do spoken word poetry, so I've always had performance ability.
Yeah. What was the first bomb like?
I don't bomb, man.
Never bomb.
I don't view it as bombing. I view it as like things not going as I wanted them to.
Okay.
But like I've never got off to crickets.
Oh, that's nice.
I've never got off to crickets.
And no booze or like you've never gotten booed.
I've never gotten booed. I've had rowdy crowds, but I've never gotten booed.
So then what was your worst show like? So like in your mind, you were thinking like, okay, this is a terrible set right now, or this is just a bad.
I did a show in Tacoma one time, and I got heckled, and I tried to go out, but I didn't. I got the light. I didn't have enough time to do it and address the heckle, you know. And then I ended up just getting, you know, I did my time, did my jokes, got off the stage. Real fast.
You're out of it.
Right, there's really nothing else to do. You can't win them all. So
right.
It's just like you got to take that L and you get back on the next stage. That's it.
Did you stick around for the rest of the show or you're gone? You just left?
I mean, I watched. It was my friend. He was headlining. So I watched him and I just bounced. Yeah.
Nice.
There's just no
right. Point. I don't need to stick around for this at all.
Now, real talk, sometimes there's no point.
Right.
Like, you know, you just got to eat that L.
Yeah.
And then you just sit there with it on your face and it just hurts.
That salty look.
Yeah, oh, just my like, God. Everybody's shaking every other comedian's hand. You're sitting there like, oh, yeah, man, I got to get, can't let this feeling happen again.
And because you do talk to the crowd a lot.
Right.
Like, do you get a lot of hecklers or is it like...
I don't get a lot of hecklers. I get a lot of people who like my style of comedy and they're eager to participate. And sometimes, okay. And now I know how to control all crowds. Now it's like, okay, you think you're helping, but you're not.
Right.
Okay, I appreciate it. I'm not mad. Okay, but other people who are trying to enjoy the show are getting a little upset. So let's be considerate of them. We're all gonna drink, have fun afterwards at the show. But right now I'm at work. Let daddy work.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it's great.
Most of the time, they shut up. But yeah. What if you get that person who just doesn't shut up and just keeps talking?
Well, then it's like, all right, they want attention, so you give them the attention. But you realize that they realize that you're in control of the attention.
Mm.
Like, if you play along, I'll engage with you.
Right.
When you cross the line, that stops. I'll tell you, like, shut up. That's it. We've had enough. I'll go on to jokes. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, you don't really have anything to say. You thought you were going to be funnier inside your head, but
right.
But those Sex on the Beaches is going to have your brain a little fuzzy, right? So I get it. We're moving on, though. Keep it pushing.
That's a and that works all the time.
I mean, nothing works all the time,
but majority of the time that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, usually, there's some comedians who don't like to be interrupted. They got their beats, they got their jokes in their head. They're like, this is the rhythm I'm keeping.
Right.
Anything that throws them off, they'll get upset. Sometimes I'll be like, I have my beat, and I'm like, okay. You know, get back on it. Doesn't really. That's me, though. I'm a different type of comic.
Has anyone ever tried to fight you after a show because they thought you were disrespectful or whatever?
Yeah, I've definitely had to, tell people. A
couple altercations after the...
Yeah, I've had to tell people, you know, a few times. Like, hey, man, don't disrespect me because I'm a comic. Who do you think you're talking to?
Yeah.
I'm a grown man. This is my job. Like, I don't care who you're here with. And then they realize, okay, this guy is serious about it. Like, cause sometimes crowds like to bust your balls. They like to see you sweat. You're like, all right, I can act like I'm sweating, I care. But then when I'm trying to do work, and they're still making it more difficult than it needs to be. I'm like, dog, don't be rude.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think you're doing? Like, chill out. And they're like, okay. Or they'll be like, what? You say, I'm like, dude, you're drunk. If we step outside, man, like, the bouncers are going to mess you up.
Yeah.
So I was like, you don't want that. Just sit back, have a drink. You know, what are you drinking? I'll get you a drink. But relax, okay? Because you ain't got nothing to prove to me.
Right.
Like, you ain't got, like, I mean, what are you going to tell your friends? You fought a comedian? Like, how's that? What does that make sense? Like, where does anyone win in that sentence? I was a guest at a comedy show and I fought the comedian. That won't get any views on YouTube. That won't get anything. So, you know, you just got to tell them, like, you got to lay it out for them sometime. This is a bad decision. If you continue this decision making process, it will lead to you getting kicked out and or I'll fight you.
Yeah. So don't ever heckle.
Don't heckle me. I'm just like, don't you ever in your life heckle me while I'm on stage.
How often do you write new jokes?
I'm writing all the time. All the time I'm writing.
What's the process like? Do you like physically write jokes down, or you just keep it in your head and kind of mess with stuff?
I write ideas down in my notepad on my phone, and I sort of try and flesh them out on, you know, on stage or build like that. That's usually how I do it. So my goal is to be smooth, an hour to be so smooth that like people look up and like when the server drops their checks, they're like, damn, it's been an hour already?
Yeah.
I want more.
Right.
That's my goal, to have an hour that smooth, you know? But when and it's also my goal to have like material where I can like seamlessly just weave in and out, you know?
Yeah.
That's my goal for that too.
So then when is a joke for you ready for like TV? You know, from when you wrote it, worked it out, and then when it's like, okay, like I can put this joke on TV now.
When you're ready to stand behind it and you have multiple exits out of it if it doesn't work. You know?
Mm.
You go into a Republican joke and you do the joke in every room. Mm. And if it gets a positive response in most rooms, it's probably a good joke.
Yeah.
Remember, you can't please everybody.
Right.
So some people are going to be upset at everything. Those are haters. We need those because they give balance. But most people are amazed that we're comedians. You do comedy?
Yeah.
So most people are amazed that we can get up there and talk.
Right.
You realize that? Most people look at us like we're brave.
Yeah, because public speaking is like the number one fear.
And I'm like, that's crazy. Did you buy that Mariners hat for me?
I did.
That's what I thought.
I didn't want to.
You know what? Salute to Black Hollywood Live. I'm happy to be in this show.
It's the subtle little things, you know, with all of the
sticker on it. Was that okay?
Yeah.
He's trying to show up. I said I'd do a show. He bought the hat. That's extra. I appreciate that.
Because I'm a fan. I'm a new fan. And so this is what's crazy. It's like I remember seeing you at a coffee shop, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, at a coffee shop in North Hollywood at an open mic, right?
Bob's Espresso.
Or it was Joe's. It's Joe's now, but it's Bob's.
Okay, it used to be Bob's, right.
And I was there with one of my boys, and I was like, who is this dude with the gauges in his ear doing comedy? And that's all I remember. I don't remember any jokes you did or anything, but I was just like, who is like, that's all I remember.
Yo, good night, y'all. I appreciate, I don't know why he brought me on this show to disrespect my material from 4 years ago. I give him props, and that's how he responds? Man, hope you guys are taking note of your host, Black Hollywood Live.
Fast forward, though, right? Fast forward, I'm on Facebook and I start seeing just like a bunch of things popping up
with your
name. Like I have like a bunch of comics that, you know, I'm friends with or whatever. And so I started to see your name more and more, and then I see the GoFundMe page, and it was literally shared at least by like 70 to 100 different comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, like what? First of all, I was like, what's going on? Secondly, I was like, I've seen this guy before, but where have I seen him? So then I went back and started watching all your stuff, and I was like, yo, this dude's funny. Like, this guy is like legitimately funny. And it's like, that's what really kind of attracted me to just your style, your genre, and then your story. And I was like, dude, I, you know, gotta have this guy on the show.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate any opportunity to spread the message and meet new people. Hopefully gain some new followers on Twitter. Holla. Holla Black Hollywood Live. I retweeted.
That
LLQJ206. There it is.
Now, you said that you wanted to do 1,000 shows a year, and then you did 1,000 shows a year.
Yeah, I did 1,000 sets in a year. Yep.
How? How did you do 1,000 sets in 1 year?
Man, dedicated, dedication, insanity.
Did you take any days off?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I took 2 days off.
You took 2 days off.
Took 2 days off.
Okay, because like
my girlfriend's dad had passed, so I couldn't do no comedy then.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. But you know, I did a lot of shows.
Because it's like three shows a night is kind of like what
that averages out to. Three sets a night, and you got to make, and that's if you do it every night.
Right.
So if you take a couple nights off, you got to play catch up.
Right.
Sometimes you can't get up three times, so you can only get up two times, so you fall further behind while you're trying to get up. Some nights you work and you got to close. You can only do one mic, so you just got to just keep track, hustle.
Yeah.
Hustle.
What brought this on? Like why did you set this crazy goal for yourself?
I mean, I thought it was lofty but attainable.
Mm.
You know, like I feel like comedy, much like anything, consistency is a muscle. It's an exercise.
Yeah.
Performing is a muscle. It's an exercise, and all our muscles have memory.
Right.
So for me, it's like you do the first set of the night. It's like all the preamble up top. The second set, you're like, all right, cool. I know what I need to do. Third set, you're like, okay, I done trimmed the wording down at least. Fourth set, you got to act out with the wording starting to fuse together.
Mm.
Fifth set, you're like, okay, this joke could be ready soon.
Yeah.
You know, once the joke's ready soon, you're like, boom, add it to the pile. Do we build on it? Nothing to build on yet. Keep going. Write new observations. I'm not an overtly funny guy. Mm. I'm subtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like even right now, I feel like when I say that, I'm not saying the right thing. I feel like your lack of response is you're like, I'm not saying anything right. I feel like it's my mom all over again. So thanks, Nick, for being a piece of shit.
Yeah, here's the thing, man. You know, hey, I'm a little subtle too sometimes.
I don't know, man. Is it subtle or is it meanness? Let's find out next week, Black Hollywood Live. Is Nick subtle or is he mean? Tune in.
It's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both.
Fair enough.
Because I am a asshole, like I feel everybody else is. You know, like there are some moments of assholeness that you got to come out with and
it just comes out during my segment of the show.
Yo,
all right, then. It's personal. So.
Sunglasses throw me out. That's what it is.
I'll take out the sunglasses. That's what helps you stop being a dick. Yeah, man, I'll take out the sunglasses. And I see him checking off the questions on his list hella fast. So I'm looking like, oh, we're halfway through. We have an hour. I hope he's talkative.
Here's the thing.
I hope he's talkative. Otherwise, it's going to be quiet. Just white noise. White noise for the last 40 minutes of this segment. I'm gonna be sitting there so Snoopy shirt, huh?
Yeah, all right, yeah, cool. This just helps me, you know, keep in line. And there's a lot of freestyle too, just kind of based off of what you say. Mm-hmm. I'm giving away trade secrets right now, Quincy.
Hey, man, well, how many? We got like 2.1 million listeners in this. Yeah,
yeah,
right, yeah.
So half of the Eastern Seaboard is listening right now.
Yo, shout out to you guys staying out past your bedtime listening to these jokes.
Yeah.
These jokes. So thank you, East Coast. Where are you from?
I'm from LA, born and raised.
Born and raised?
Born and raised, man.
Like what part?
I was born in Hollywood. Like on the Sunset Strip.
No one else gets set, but that's so. Saying you're born in Hollywood, is like, he might as well say he's born in Hawaii. Like he's like born in a boat, because no one is ever from Hollywood.
Right.
What hospital?
Kaiser.
Kaiser right there?
Literally the Kaiser right there on Sunset next to the Scientology building.
Wow, Sunset, that's near Sunset, Vermont.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So you were born in Hollywood.
Born, yeah, man. You know, so this is
this is your city.
It was supposed to happen eventually.
it's happening now.
Right.
How old are you?
28.
28.
Yeah, 28.
How long you been doing comedy?
About 4 years ago, off and on. So
we don't count on
right. We don't count.
So how long have you been doing?
6 months.
There you go. I was in Miami last week, and I asked this dude, "How long have you been doing comedy?" He's like, "Since 2012." But then I took a 3-year break, and I was like, "Wait! You get it's like I said, I worked at Starbucks for a week, and then I quit. I've been working at Starbucks for 5 years. It's like, no, that doesn't
right.
Those dates count.
Dormant periods, yeah. Though, right.
Well, you probably had a girlfriend who was happy years young. But so you've been doing this since 6 months now? Full time?
I've stopped too. So like, so you know, I'm just saying overall time that I've been doing it for the
do
past 4 years.
Do you even do comedy right now?
As of right now, no, I'm writing right now. But I am writing jokes though.
Oh my god. So, that's what they all say. What did I need to research the programs I come on to.
Yeah.
The host at least. I thought he was a comic. I've been writing for 4 years. Finding Forrester mother.
That's yeah. I'm the biggest fraud to host a stand up show.
Hey man, I'm not here to judge, but
Me and Conan O'Brien are at the.
You guys are both the same height. Are you like 6'5"?
6'2". Yeah.
He's 6'5", I think, or 6'6".
Conan writes, you know, hosts a great show. I write, host a fantastic show. It's basically the same thing.
Conan has writers.
Well, yeah, well, I'm saying, but he used to write, though. He
right, wrote right, right, yeah, right, right, right. Okay, okay. But he also did comedy, though.
Yeah.
But you don't do comedy. All right.
Let's talk about your fears, Quincy.
My fears?
Pigeons.
Oh, man, them things. Next question. That's how scary that is. We ain't going to talk about
that. No, but what prompted this? Because this is a legitimate fear.
If someone threw a pigeon in this room right now, in the studio right now,
yeah,
I'll have to burn the place down. Like, I personally, I will burn this studio down. If someone just opened the door and just threw a pigeon. That's it. Curtains.
What about a dove?
That is a white pigeon. That is an all white pigeon. See, man, the man got you conditioned to think that the white pigeon is different than the other pigeons, okay, brother? It's all pigeons. They all rats with wings, okay? That's what they is. I don't like pigeons, though.
Did something happen, like when you were younger, like that promoted this fear, or where did it? Were you just born afraid? Like, what happened?
Just born afraid? When I'm mutant? you born with this power to be afraid? I was smoking weed on a park bench, and there are pigeons, old man down in a couple benches where he throwing bread and little pigeons around. I never liked him. This little kid came running through, and like the pigeons had like wandered over mine. He came running through, and a pigeon flew and it hit me in the head.
Oh, wow.
And I just remember being terrified. I was like, I hate him.
And you couldn't react. It just flew right into your face.
I said I was smoking weed, man. All right, the reaction time was slow. It felt like the fluttering lasted way longer, the screaming way longer. Never again. Okay, next question. What else do you want to talk about? This nigga, you make me relive, man. Yo, who's the producer of this show, man? This host is being very, very abrasive.
I'm just saying, like, this, it's an interesting fear.
It's an interesting fear. What are you afraid of?
Not pigeons.
What are you? what are you in a political debate? You can't answer the question. Not pigeons. What's your plan to save America?
I don't know. I mean, like falling. I think like falling from like, cause I'm not afraid of heights. I'm just afraid of like falling from heights.
Like, so you're afraid of heights because that's what the definition of being.
No,
afraid
I mean,
of heights.
But like I can be on a tall building and look over and be like, oh, okay, that's cool. But if someone came up, yeah, then that's like okay.
So you're afraid of heights. You're not, because vertigo would just be afraid of height. Period.
Right.
You know, but you're afraid of heights. It's okay.
But I want to go bungee jumping though. So then that's like.
That's not height. Skydiving would be like.
But that's totally different.
So there's levels to your view? Okay, cool. Because I'm just scared of pigeons baseline. All right? You're scared. You're like, I want to go skydiving. You want to go bungee jumping? Go skydiving if you're really afraid of falling.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right.
Dr. Q, signing off. It's been real Black Hollywood Live. Appreciate the airtime. I don't even know which camera to be looking at, honestly.
You can look at all of them. Or look at either that one.
The same one you're looking at.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
Yeah.
Because you're not on that one.
I know. And I'm very vain. I'm not.
We're gonna take a serious moment.
Okay.
What was the day and the feeling like when you got your diagnosis?
Oh, man. It was July 3rd, 5:50 in the morning. I was in New Jersey. Mm. I was at the Morristown Hospital, and doctor comes in and says, hey, man, it's cancer. Wow. I was like, what? I was like, no, it's not. Running back. He's like, nah, you're in shock. I'm like, no, what's shocking is that you're still here, and you're not running back the test. He's like, dude, that's what the results of the biopsy was. It's cancer. It's peritoneal mesothelioma, and I don't know how you got it. I don't know anything. All I know is you got to start treatment. I was like, all right, what do I do? They're like, you got to go home. I was like, all right. So I went back to LA. This is home. And they said it was going to be 8 weeks to see an oncologist. And I was like, you can't tell someone they have cancer and to just chill for 2 months. So I kept going. I went to the ER. I forced them to admit me, and I stayed in the hospital for 45 days. So I was in the hospital, and then they told me in the hospital, like, the cancer spread to your lung. You have a year left to live. They're like, some people live longer, some people live shorter, but the average time is you have a year. Wow. And I was like, huh. Nah. They're like, what? I was like, Nah, I don't think. There's no way. I mean, I've lived a crazy life, and I definitely don't see me dying on August 6th in 2016.
Right.
So, what do we got to do? Well, chemo's, all right, let's do it. What? Just do it. Let's do it. When can we start? Tomorrow. Cool. Let's do it tomorrow. We ended up doing it the day after that. So that was a Thursday. We started on Saturday, and it completely knocked me out, man. I was knocked out for like, oh my God, I was knocked out for like 3 days.
Wow.
It's that bad. Chemo's that bad.
Yeah.
But the cancer is controlled now. It's no longer spreading. My belly's no longer filling up with fluid. Good. And I think that was by the grace of God and by me keeping a strong mental state and having a good support system around me. My girlfriend at the time, she was great. She was amazing. She was a team player. The comedy community, amazing.
Yeah.
And that was great.
Did that affect your joke writing or like were you still, because you know how comics still have that mind, were you just like, okay, like we got to focus on this, or were you still able to kind of, how can I make something out of this for the stage?
I mean, I was too busy fighting for my life to really be looking at comedy like that. I mean, when I first got out of the hospital, I did 2 open mics.
Wow.
It was more so just to sort of like get back to what I know how to do.
Right.
I know how to be funny. That's what I do. And comedy for me is therapeutic.
Yeah.
So I love telling jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but has it changed your joke writing process? Or
no.
is it still the?
I mean, it's still the same thing. Yeah. Still the same thing. Like, some people look at me, they couldn't even tell I have cancer. So it's not like I sit up there and harp on it.
Right.
You know, I really don't even acknowledge it until it forces me to, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. I like, you know, it does, like, when you get diagnosed with cancer, man, it's like you have the ability to decide if you're going to let it dictate the terms of your life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you get diagnosed with any health disease, it's a serious thing. You should acknowledge it, you know? But that doesn't mean you have to go live in a bubble.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to start, you know, I gotta be home by sundown and street lights come. It's like, nah, just keep doing what I'm doing. Be a little, you know, be more mindful. Yeah. Realize I can't go that hard. That's it.
Yeah. Are you eating healthier now? Are you doing this the LA diet with the kales and the green juices and the?
I mean, I have a green juice a day. Yeah, I have a green juice. I mean, I just decided to dry out. You know, until my birthday, till the special drops.
Mm.
But yeah.
But you're still drinking that,
huh?
So, but you're still drinking.
I don't drink that much. I don't drink that often.
Mm.
But you know, I had a few reasons to celebrate.
Yeah.
You know. So why not? Why not live it up a bit, right?
Right.
Everything's good within moderation.
This is very true.
Except white women. Tell you that much. Except white women.
is there anything that is off limits for you on the stage?
Nope.
So you go after everything.
If I can make a unique perspective on it, funny. The thing is to be funny and not be disrespectful to what's happening.
Right.
Now, some people are going to view it as being disrespectful, but you know where you're coming from, and there's a way to do it.
Yep.
Now, if I was white, like if I was like Daniel Tosh, or, you know, Anthony Jeselnik. I mean, I could get away with doing stuff like that. You know, like, they get to say some pretty dark stuff, right?
I mean, although, because Tosh had to apologize about
Tosh also has, like, a hot-ass show on TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you got networks and then they're in bed with, you know, advertisers, you know, marketers and stuff, you sort of got to play that card, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not backed. I don't want to say backed, but... Like, once the special drops, I'll be on HBO.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's like, okay, well, I can't be doing all the stuff I used to do.
Right.
So I'm enjoying this time I got right now.
Yeah.
It's a pretty exciting time.
The young and reckless.
I mean, I'm not young. I'm definitely not reckless, but I get what you mean.
You're still young. You're what? You're 32?
32.
Yeah.
Dude. Cancer ages you fast. Like, chemo ages you fast. So I'm 32 pushing 47 right now.
Okay.
So that's where I am.
Well, I mean, but then if you are pushing 47, that means you're almost 50, which means that you're right there at that midlife crisis, which brings you right back down to 25. So,
man, that is horrible math. Did you guys catch that? This math skills. What'd you major in college, man? Wasn't math, was it?
No.
Where'd you go to college at?
I didn't.
You didn't go to college?
No, I started selling cars.
You still sell cars?
No.
What do you do now?
I work on a TV show.
What TV show?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
This motherfucker has credits? It's been real. appreciate everybody, man. I really don't need anything. I don't know why. Working on the hottest show on TV?
Yeah, well, one of them, yeah. There's a lot of great shows. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a fantastic program, and I've been blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been blessed.
I've been blessed, yeah.
So you don't need to do comedy. You should stay with whatever you're doing in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Well, I mean, but here's like, 'cause like I like comedy. I like doing it. I love the interaction. I love comedians, you know, and which is one of the reasons why we started this show 3 years ago was to have these conversations.
Now, is it only Black Hollywood?
What do you mean?
Like, is it only Black comedians in the show?
No. We're like the UN over here.
Then you should take Black Hollywood Live and just be like Hollywood Live.
Well, I mean, it's already branded, and it's been a whole thing now.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you what white people get scared of. I tweeted at my white fans. Are like, oh, my gosh, what? Is it for us to listen to? Like, everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
People don't know how me and Nick met, man. I was at a show killing it, right? And his girlfriend.
No, not my girl. No. I was with one of my friends. It was a girl who was one of my friends. Yeah. let me.
The names and titles of the people involved in the story have been changed to protect the innocent. So some girlfriend he was with.
Okay, so you're gonna get me in trouble. It's definitely it wasn't like that. She is legitimately just a friend.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I do have a girlfriend.
What's your girlfriend's name?
Her name is Sarah.
And what is she white?
No.
What is she?
She's Egyptian.
My man.
Yeah.
Cracking the Da Vinci Code. Yeah. Holy smokes, that's crazy. And okay, so yeah, so the girl he was with was not Egyptian looking. Okay, so definitely was his friend. Sorry, Sarah. I know you support your man's brilliant show. But I was killing it. Back to me. I was doing what I do, floating on stage, right? And the comics before me, I didn't know how they were. What'd you think? How were they?
They're okay. There was a few that were funny. And there was, because like, when we walked in, there was one guy on stage, and he was all right. What's his name? Kevin Shea, hilarious.
The Asian dude before me?
Yeah.
He was good. He was good.
Yeah.
And then so Kevin Shea gave me a hot room, and then I took over, set it on fire, and his homegirl had her feet in the couch, and that was the opening thing. I was like, that's how casual we gonna be at this show. You gonna put your feet in the couch? That's how you're ready. Okay, boom. And then it started going. I did like 20-30 minutes, told like minimal jokes.
Yeah,
that was a fun night. It was a great show.
Yeah, it was. The room setup was a little weird though.
It really was.
Yeah,
it was a unique setup.
Yeah, but you handle it like a champ.
I mean, that's what you gotta do. Yeah. You know, you're not always gonna get club crowds that are, you know, dim lights, 2 hour minimum. We don't have fun. I came to have fun.
Yeah.
Someone else didn't have fun. That's on them. Because I'm trying to make everyone have fun. If you don't want to have fun, then it's on you.
Right.
So we'll leave you. Well, the boat will leave you on the dock of unhappiness. We'll keep sailing to Chuckle Junction. That's where we'll go. So I ain't tripping.
Nice.
That's my mentality. That answered questions 4, 5, 6. Oh, 5 minutes left? Okay.
So that's how we met.
That's how we met.
Yeah. So let's talk about Ellen really quickly.
She's great. Next question.
when you got the call,
speed round.
When you got the call to appear on Ellen, what was going through your mind when you first got that call? Like, what did you think? It was a prank call, or do you think it was real? Or,
I mean, I just got through chemo that day, so I didn't really think much of it, honestly.
Yeah,
I was like, someone's fucking with me. I don't got time. My head hurts.
Yeah.
And then we Skyped. I remember the second producer, we Skyped. Now, I got on Ellen because my cousin Alexia had written Ellen twice.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So that part, I tell that, but they always edit that part out. So this, for the record, my cousin Alexia wrote in, and that paired with the Kickstarter going viral. That's what got me on Ellen.
Gotcha.
Because the second producer contacted my cousin Alexia to get my contact information. Because I'm hidden like that. Because I don't like everybody access to the kid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Late low. So then I talked to a couple interviewers and I get the dates when I'm gonna be on. I'm excited. I get a fit and I go on. And my manager's like, yo, they want to bring you back on. I was like, all right, cool. I'm down for some more TV time. It's great to say you've seen on Ellen, right?
Yeah.
So
twice.
Twice in a short week.
Yeah.
So we go out there, we do that, and then they announced that I'm about to get a special on HBO. And I was like, whew. Crazy.
Yeah, so like for the people who didn't see the segment, Ellen on her show like made a plea to HBO and Netflix to say like, hey, like you guys should air a special.
Right.
And when Ellen talks, people get on the phone and make things happen.
I mean, Ellen's how many people could say that Ellen is their godmom? Right. That's my fairy godmother right there. So
yeah,
shout out to Ellen. Ellen, if you're watching this, thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited. So the special is called Burning the Light.
Burning the Light.
Why that title?
It's called Burning the Light because when I got my prognosis, they said I had a year to live. Mm. And as a comedian, when you're given your stage time, they say we're going to give you a light at this time. And you don't ever want to burn a light as a comedian because it's disrespectful to other comics.
Right.
But for me, I felt disrespected by the prognosis. So I said, I'm going to burn the light. So I went, I plan on living longer than August 6, 2016, and that'll be that.
Yeah.
And so that's why I called it Burn the Light, going longer than I was supposed to.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so June 2nd.
June 2nd.
On HBO. What 10 time?
10 p.m.
10 p.m. So if you don't have HBO, call and get HBO right now.
Yeah, or, you know, get that free month. If you don't want to commit to that. HBO, get it now. You know, so enjoy it. Watch Game of Thrones. It comes on tonight.
Yeah.
You Game of Thrones fan?
I'm not, because I don't want to get sucked into it.
What do you do, dog? What do you do? What do you do? Do you ball? What do you do?
I play checkers, man.
That's it.
No.
That's it. I was like, that's it. 28 years old, just playing checkers.
That's all right, the
man.
Kingmate, dude.
That's done with this Bobby Fischer right here, man. I gotta be, I'm more selective of the show. I promise you.
What shows do you have coming up? Where can people see you live?
I know not the whole Eastern Seaboard is listening to this, but I'll be in Boston. I'll be in Houston on Wednesday. And then I'll be in Boston like Saturday, and I'll be in New York, and then I'll be back in LA, and then I'll head up to Portland for Bridgetown.
Nice.
So I got a nice little schedule, about 10 days on the road. Yeah. Come back for a few days up in Portland, come back.
Are you gonna have a viewing party for your show?
I'll be at Bridgetown, so I'm thinking about it. I might like rent out the hotel lobby or whatever. And then try and do that.
Yeah, so invite a bunch of people down and, you know.
Well, I mean,
meet and greet or something.
Well, do you know what Bridgetown is?
I do not.
Okay, Bridgetown is a huge comedy festival.
Oh, okay.
That a bunch of comedians go to. So I like doing that. It's a very smooth surface. Right? So I'm sorry. I wish you guys could touch it. No, I'm not an ecstasy, but it is just a nice smooth surface.
Yeah.
Is it glass?
It is, yeah.
Smooth glass. Smooth glass. Anyways, yeah, so it's a big major festival, and it's an honor to be a part of it. You should check it out.
Yeah.
You should come up if you're free.
Bridgetown. I'm making notes now.
Yeah, you should. Bridgetown. Bridgetown. Yeah. I know you didn't go to college now, but that's why I know that for a fact. It's all good, though. What other questions? Because I know we got 5 minutes left.
Social media, where can people find you, find all your stuff online?
Man, I don't have a lot of stuff online because I want people to come see me live. And I don't like burning my material before I'm ready to get rid of it. I don't really do the same material anyways, but LLQJ206. That's LL, Ladies Love Quincy Jones 206, the area code of Seattle. Not, don't add the area code of Seattle. You won't find anything, but you'll find LLQJ206. Yeah, nice. That's on Twitter. That's on the gram. I don't have Snapchat. And you can add me on Facebook. Actually, I think I hit my quota, but
you can subscribe to him on Facebook then.
You can. All I do is post random thoughts, so I don't really post jokes. I'm not like most comedians. I'm not like every comedian on Facebook.
Right.
Using that as like a place to run jokes. What are open mics?
That's like open mic, right?
Yeah, I'm so weird. Anyways.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, man. Shout out to the Black Hollywood Live listeners.
Thanks for coming in.
Do your research and your host, though. All right? Nick Perdue out here. Do your research. All right? Good dude. Can't figure him out. He still never answered the question of what he does.
No.
That's good. It. Good conversation. Appreciate me Ubering up here for this. This is amazing.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, you can find me all over the internet at the Nick Perdue. I'll see you next time.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.